Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is May 6th.
Yes.
And I know that because Julian is getting married May 9, and today is Rabia's birthday, May 6th.
Today is my sister's birthday. She ain't been on the show in years. I'm going to have to ask her if she wants to come back on in a minute. But yes, today is my sister's birthday. A Harlem legend, as you said, Jeffrey.
Yes, a Harlem legend.
Like 100%.
A Taurus.
Yes, very much so. I pulled up a bunch of old pictures of us, but I sent her two that I found after I did the post, and I'm 10, she's 13, we're in Aruba.
Okay.
And, you know, the difference, so we're 3 years apart, but you know, at 10 and 13, that's a very big difference.
That's a big gap.
And this was South Carolina 10-year-old Naima versus Harlem 13-year-old Rabia. I thought Rabia was a grown person. Yeah, she's on the beach. She got frost. Like, she was so fly though. Like, she got frosted lipstick and her hair is blowing, but there's still no flyaways. Like, it's still perfectly like gelled up, and she got like an esprit fit and everything.
She's popping. Well, happy birthday. Yeah. How's everybody doing?
So I got the sciatica that I've been battling with, and right now my back is on fire. This shit is not fun, and it's not like you can take a pill because it's nerve pain. It's not you could take a pill and it can go away.
None of that shit works.
But I went to see my physical therapist. The problem for me is that I got my diet under control from the beginning of the pandemic, and I'm really not that much. I'm only a couple pounds bigger than my pre-pandemic weight, but I haven't worked out at all, not at all. Yeah. And so my core is weak, which is making my back work overtime. And I already had like some nerve situations going on in the bottom of my back, and my couch is very, very soft. So I'm just dealing with a combination of things I got to be more cognizant of.
I feel bad for you.
It sucks, B.
I've been blessed so far. Like, I don't got no type of pain at all. I'm good. But I don't like to say that too much because then I should have, one day I'd be like, oh, my whole shit froze up.
I noticed you got a Peloton shirt on. You joined the Peloton family?
No. Now, Julian gave me this.
Oh, that's right, because Julian works for Peloton. Julian works for Peloton, and you ride anyway. You had no interest in...
Because I don't like to work out at home. Yeah, I don't like to work at home. Oh, okay. It's just psychological for me to, like, get dressed and go to a place.
Okay.
You know, I've tried to work at home before. It just doesn't work for me.
Right.
Like, I need to go. Maybe, you know, eventually... You know, one day I'll get a space with like a basement or something like that. Cause I think even just going downstairs.
You need a dedicated space or something.
Exactly.
Like
that.
Does not change it. Same trash ass workout. Downstairs is going to be upstairs.
It's going to be some bullshit.
I can assure you. I can attest to you.
Yeah. It's just something about going out.
I have a bike and a treadmill and weights. And
I have bike. I have weights. I have all that shit. I'd be looking at that shit every day.
Yeah. No, I don't, exactly.
I mean, I use it because I've just basically canceled my memberships to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went this past week to Lifetime, which was actually really packed.
People are getting back to it now.
It was definitely like, it felt like a gym.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, but my membership runs out this, you know, the end of this month. So I still work out at home. And like I said before, I bought a bike. I bought these sort of mace, they're called mace mallets. And they're like these weights, but they're like sticks.
Oh.
And you use them to kind of work out. I got kettlebells. So I pretty much this.
You got a full joint. You got everything.
I can work out.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I just, you know, yeah, I could have got the from Julian easy with the discount, but I just, it would be in here just dusty. You know what I'm saying? You know, I need to go outside to do my shit. You know,
I get that. Okay. So the wedding on Sunday, are you excited?
Yeah, I am. I mean, it's going to be interesting because, you know, I haven't seen Julian's mom in a long time. That'd be very.
Are y'all good?
Not really. I mean, keeping the trail. We keep it real on the show. Not right, really. Right. No, but I don't.
It's very black. I love
yeah, it's
it.
Very black. We, you know, but you know, we're gonna make the best of it for that right. day. You know, that Sunday. I don't plan on having no issues. But I mean, I'm happy for Julian. He came down Saturday past, and we had dinner, and we had like a long talk about, you know, getting married. And you know, I was kind of trying to, you know, tell him some shit. And, you know, it just kind of bugs me. I mean, I went and bought a suit, right? And
right.
At Saks and was talking to the salesman or whatever. And, you know, and he has a son that's around the same age, maybe like a couple of years younger. But we were just both like, this is, it's just bonkers. Like it, you can't wrap my mind around it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, like he's getting, what are you talking about? It's like some super adult shit. And right. you still think of your kids as kids, no matter what age, you know. So it's like, damn, this is crazy, you know.
Right.
So yeah. You know, so you know, but I'm happy. I'm happy for him. He seems to be happy and excited. Going out to Brooklyn Saturday night because the wedding's in Brooklyn, so I got a room, so I don't have to be scrambling and shit on Sunday.
Right.
You know, my suit is good. I'm gonna be fresh.
Now, are you part of the wedding party, or are you?
Just nah, I'm just in it. I'm just in it, and I'm contemplating the sneakers thing. I got some, you know, some Ralph Simmons Adidas that okay. match my suit nice. But I'm gonna bring a pair of hard bottoms. I'm gonna bring Gucci's, and I'm gonna bring a pair of these Ralph Simmons Adidas, and we'll see. We'll see what's up.
You got the do both, barbecue sandals.
Do both like the real nigga you are, man.
Yeah, man, bro. I'll put the sneakers on in the reception. You know, yeah. So you know, I'm definitely bringing both. You know, and you know, it's cool. So we'll see, man. I'm taking a bunch of pictures, and well, yeah.
Congratulations. I'm
it's bumped out. Everybody keeps telling me congratulations.
You
no, I'm not mad. I'm just like, yeah, right. Oh, okay. I'm not getting married, but okay.
You know but it's still a celebratory occasion for you.
No, it is. I get it. Everybody's like, yo, congratulations, man. And like, even when I went to buy the suit, there was a lady there with her husband. Mm-hmm. She was like, congratulations. And I'm like, thank you. But I'm like, I'm not the one. But I get it. I'm not mad at people. I'm right. just like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, thank you.
That's usually because most people consider that a sign of your son. Good.
Yeah.
Well, not just that, but like he's a complete adult.
Right? Exactly. Like
he's out of the house. He is.
He's starting his own family.
He started his own family.
Exactly. So that's he's really on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not upset about it. It's just, when people started saying it to me, I was like, what? Oh, okay, cool. All right, cool.
I'm going to DC to celebrate Dr. Joe Grant.
Gonna be lit.
Friend to the show, country cousin Lauren Grant. Some of you who are our listeners may have seen a viral meme. It was posted on a couple different places of there's a couple things. Somebody posting, you know, my 70-year-old dad defending his dissertation today. That was Lauren's brother posting their father when he defended his dissertation a few weeks ago. He was hooded yesterday. And she's throwing him a little shindig.
That's gonna be dope.
The theme is "You did it, Joe." We did it, Joe, which I love.
That's dope.
So on Saturday, and Mom's in DC, so she's gonna come. So we're gonna go celebrate Dr. Grant.
Dope. That's hot. That's hot fire. That's hot fire. That's hot fire. Congratulations, Mr. Joe.
Yeah, man.
You know, that's a big accomplishment. Especially, I mean, not trying to, you know, I guess I don't even have to preface it, but especially at his age, not that he's old, but like a lot of people at that age, a lot of times this is like, I ain't school, I ain't going none of that shit. So for him to at that age to still want to have that drive to get there.
Not only that, like a year into it, he had a really bad accident and had a cerebral hemorrhage. They thought he was gonna die at one point. Mm. So it delayed, like he had to learn how to walk again and eat again and like a whole lot of shit. So double on top of that, you know what I mean?
Still pushed through. Cause I can't imagine at my age, let alone his age, school? fuck.
Right.
I'm not doing that shit, bro. It's not an option. I remember when I graduated, niggas like, "Yo, man, you gonna go for your master's?" I was like, "You're fucking bugging. I'm never doing this ever again. I'm done."
My mother is still trying to get me to go for my master's just because it's what we do in my family.
No.
The only thing that might press me is like if Cheyenne starts that track and I'm still not, I can't let my little sister have my master's. And I don't. That's literally because I don't. I'm like, Ma, I don't need it. Like I'm 45. If I haven't needed it yet, I'm not fucking. I'm not going to need it.
I'm very impressed with the ones who do it. Like right. I'm very impressed. Like I don't think you like it's some sucker shit or nothing. But right. I just know for me. School homework?
Me myself personally.
For me in my house. Because the other thing is, listen, this is absolutely no shots to anybody, especially in this era who is doing school remotely. But pre-pandemic, to get a master's, really, you should be in classroom to get to, even though I know a lot of us have moved to online because part of it is so much of it is about like group work and
working with each other.
So my thing was like, I'm not gonna do it if I can't go back to school. And you don't know how it is. Like once you start working, you ain't never going back to motherfuckers.
Yeah,
like
so, yeah, like, so God bless. And it doesn't in this field, it doesn't affect your pay scale. Mm-hmm. Like in other fields, it's like, oh, you got a master's, so it means you can
go raise it.
This doesn't matter. So you just did it just on the strength. So right. God bless. And again, congratulations, Mr. Joe. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
It is.
Congratulations, it is. Dr. Joe.
Excuse me. I am, no disrespect.
Mr. Dr. Joe.
And you know, I bet they're going to have some brown and some wings at that celebration.
Of course. And he's an Omega too. So of course.
Oh, shit. They're going to be stepping in and all kind of black shit.
I don't know
shit.
If I want to go now.
Well, light stepping.
Yeah, right?
light stepping. I got a commercial, Anchor.
Uh-oh.
Another one I fucking
it's
hate.
It's funny that you mentioned that because guess what is the phrase that Ivy has picked up and is yelling around the house?
What's that?
Get your wet teddy bear.
Oh, my God. I jump out the damn window. I still not when I see that commercial, it pisses me off. So this one, everybody's seen. I hate it's so fucking mammy. I hate that Popeyes commercial when she says this sandwich tastes like so God came down and da da and swiped somebody's grandmother kicked it and then God swiped left. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? You know which commercial I'm talking about?
I know exactly which commercial you're talking about.
Somebody's aunt so and so.
Let's just say this. I hate all Popeyes commercials. There's not a single one that is not awesome.
A racist. Yeah, it's not racist.
Racist.
Popeyes is like, you're going to get this racism.
Like yeah. Miss Annie with the apron. Where is she now?
She's not making
chicken anymore?
Yeah, exactly. She out. She out the door now. Yeah. So that whole swipe right, like, just say the sandwich is good. That's you're being mad extra, man.
Or the one where the guy is singing about the sandwich. They were in that one in the fucking
grave. Oh, no, Popeye. Nigga, shut the fuck up, man, and give me my chicken. I'm just singing shit.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, Popeye's, they just stay in the fucking coonery, boy. They like, you're going to get this coon shit. So, yeah, so I'll keep you posted on the next commercial I hate. There's more.
I appreciate this new segment.
Yeah,
irritate me.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, I got a shout out.
Go ahead, bro.
Shout outs to Jordan, my daughter.
Yep.
She had her 18th birthday.
Oh.
On the 2nd, and she got accepted. She decided on what school she's going to. She's going to be going to Clark Atlanta.
Yep.
So I just wanted to give her a shout out. She's been really, she really adapted to the pandemic a lot more than I thought she would have.
Okay.
She's really shown me quite a bit of growth in the last 18 months or so. So I feel really good about the young woman I'm going to be dropping off at campus in the next coming months. So I'm really, really happy and I'm really, really proud for her. I also know she's been here hustling. And also listen to the podcast here and there. So I just wanted to give her a shout.
We're very proud of you, Jordan. You know, we've seen you grow up from a little girl to a young woman, and now you headed off to school, and I can't wait for your, you know, to hear about some of your adventures. Some shit you can't tell. I get it. You don't really want to know, probably. You know, but the stuff that we can hear, I can't wait to hear about your new friends at Clark and your new experiences, and can't stand them.
Her bitches over Spelman. Her best, one of her best friends also committed as well. So
they'll be going together.
They'll be going down there together. So That's dope. Since you reminded me,
friend to the show, Kia Marshall, her daughter Ari got accepted into some good schools, got accepted into Rice and to Vanderbilt. So she's actually picked Vanderbilt. She's going to Vanderbilt in the fall. So peace to Ari from Uncle Sledge.
Y'all got some good grown kids.
Yeah,
come out of your household. So if you ever want to slide any parenting tips this way, I am open.
French fries.
No more French fries.
French fries. Oh shit.
Grandparents.
I want to talk. This is a couple of things I wanted to mention. I got a couple of shows. I got a couple of shows. I'll get back to the other shit. So.
Oh, we also got to talk about the Invincible finale.
Okay, yeah, I'll include that in this. So, first show is a show called I know I'm going to say this wrong. Yasuki. I think it's called Yasuki. It's animated, a Japanese show, but it's actually black created. It's created by this guy named LaShawn Anderson, I believe his last name is. He's the guy that did the Boondocks. He's a guy. He did that. So, and Lakeith Stanfield is the lead voice. It's about a black samurai in Japan. It's based, I mean, this obviously the cartoon, it's like a lot of fantasy and everything, but the black samurai was a real person who was brought over to Japan in I guess the 1800s early 1900s by the Jesuits.
I feel like I've heard Chadwick being attached to a possible movie about this.
Yeah, he was brought over by the Jesuits. He got liberated in Japan and was raised to be a samurai, and he became the only black samurai ever to date, I believe. And because he was, you know, African, they still, his backstory is still murky, but they think he was a slave from picked up from Mozambique, I believe it was. But anyway, he was bigger than everybody else. Like Japanese people at that time were apparently like average of like 5 feet tall, and he was 6'2". So he was a giant, you know. Then he's doing samurai, so he's mad strong. So he was like a legendary figure in that. And the character is based on him, but obviously it's a lot more like fantasy or whatever. It's good, not great, but I just say watch anyway because of black people doing some different shit, and it was fly.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So that's one. Other sidebar, just on some geeked up shit. I was tweeting back and forth with Reggie Hudlin the other day about, I told him that the music cue in Boomerang of the PM Dawn record.
Yep. It's
was
perfect.
Like one of the best music cues I've ever seen in my life.
It is indeed.
And I was asking him, like, did they make the scene for that? He said, nah, they just made the scene, and then when they got the record, it actually just fit perfectly. Like it did. So it wasn't made for the song wasn't made for that scene. It just kind of like they got the song and they put it there, and it's like, oh shit,
it was perfect.
Yeah, so peace to Reggie Hudlin, because you know
he wanted to. I do want to say
back on Twitter.
Reggie follows me actually, and he'll retweet stuff.
Yeah.
But also, that one might not have been made for the scene, but Face and LA were on set because. When they did Boop, they were trying to emulate the success of the New Jack City soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And so they actually were on set while they were working on the soundtrack because they wanted to make sure, I guess at least for the stuff that they wrote and produced.
That it matched what was going
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, peace to him. Just a weird one. So the other day I watched a MeTV, you know, my shit, and Hogan's Heroes came on. Do y'all know about Hogan's Heroes?
I do know about Hogan's Heroes.
Look at bro's face. It's
like,
do you know about Hogan's Heroes, Inca?
No, yeah. I was like, where are you going?
I've heard that title before, okay. But I have no idea what that is.
So this is what I wanted to just mention. So Hogan's Heroes, Inca, young one, was this show that came on in the 60s. It came on in the 60s, right? But I hadn't seen it. You know, it used to come on reruns.
Just like the 60s, nigga, since it came,
the original programming. Nah, you know, it used to come on the reruns and shit back when we was kids. But I hadn't seen it since then.
It used to be on syndication in the 80s. Yeah, it would come on after the Andy Griffin Show or something.
Yeah, shit like that, exactly. Which is what BTV kind of, they basically do that now. That type of television. But it was just bugging me out because I was like, yo, I cannot believe even back then, this show got on television. This show was about people in a prisoner of war camp. It's a comedy. And motherfuckers they're friends with like the Nazis. And dudes
Nazis on Hogan's Heroes? That's what I remember.
And they wear like the Nazi uniforms and shit. Like, I'm like, yo, this is crazy.
Because wasn't one of the main characters like a Nazi general or something?
The guy who ran the PO camp was the colonel. He ran the camp. And his man was the sergeant was the goofy dude. I forget his name. I think Sergeant Schultz or something. But they were all POWs. They were from England. One dude was from France. One dude was like a Marine. One dude was a... It was just like such a bonkers concept. Right. I'm like... I can't, that definitely would not get on TV now. I can't imagine it got on TV back then.
But it's also like MASH. Who thought of staging a comedy around a triage unit in the Korean War? Like,
yeah, but I'm just saying, but these dudes are literally wearing a swastika on their arms. Like they're wearing a swastika. Yes, they are wearing the swastika. Like they are like fucking Nazi soldiers. I'm like, this is bonkers. That this
I never watched a full episode, but I remember there being like Nazi
characters. And they got the NPO camp. It's like the barbed wire, and it's just bonkers, man. Peace to MeTV for showing that shit. It's unbelievable.
Peace to you for watching.
It's great. It's just Oh, then I want to mention my favorite new show, Mayor of Eastwood. It's on HBO Max. Stars Kate Winslet.
Yo.
This show is unbelievable.
They are acting in that show.
Acting their asses off. It's incredible. It's even
Kate Winslet is.
She like masterclass level.
Unbelievable. You think of her as like the girl in Titanic, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So far from that. It's
She's insane.
Literally every role Kate Winslet has ever done has been more interesting than her role in Titanic. Seriously.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Every single one.
But this show is based in a small town in like Pennsylvania. I guess I don't know if it's eastern Pennsylvania, but definitely like Pennsylvania. Like it's like the suburbs
where we are.
Yeah. Like it's Philly centric, but it ain't Philly. Like they way out. Like way.
I thought it was Pittsburgh centric. Like they
I think it's Philly. But whatever. But they're in the middle of Pennsylvania. Anyway. Bottom line, they're in middle of Pennsylvania. It's one of those, it's very interesting because it's one of those towns, like many of those towns, where nobody ever really leaves. Mm-hmm. You know, like everybody like knows each other from fucking elementary school and now they're adults and they're all know everybody's secrets and who this and who slept with that and who blah, blah, blah.
The police department is like a dozen people.
And they're all with the school together. And
911 is the lady at the front desk.
Literally, like, hey, can you come down? You know, because I'm somebody, someone in my house, and so. But there's this murder mystery that unfolds. It's up to episode 3, going into episode 4, and it just keeps unfolding with these crazy twists and turns. That like
4 is up. Did you see 4?
Oh, 4 is up. I didn't see 4.
Yo.
Okay, don't say 4 shit. 4 is bonkers.
That was like, this is good, but I'll be okay. Like, if I don't figure out who murdered her, it's not going to change my life. 4, I'm like, okay, I got to see every episode of this forever.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Yeah, because it's really, because they're doing a good job at like keeping you off track about who might have done it. There's several people that could have done this murder mystery. It's incredible. Obvious,
it's one of those shows where like the protagonist is still fucked up, but you still root for her.
Exactly.
And then the antagonist is kind of abstract at this point.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just the town itself. Like it's hard to.
It's hard to see. The town is
definitely a character.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. Yeah.
So highly recommended. Like highly recommended. It'll hook you from the first episode on, and it, like I said, it just keeps unfolding and unfolding, and you just don't know what's happening, what twists and what twists are coming. So, yeah, watch that. Invincible finale.
Yo, I wasn't ready for none of that shit.
That shit was brutal.
From minute one, I was like, what the? Hey, Ivy, what the hell?
Hey, Ivy. It was definitely the most brutal episode. And they've had some brutal episodes.
I mean, from the door, I was like,
wilding.
And I mean, spoiler alert, if y'all haven't seen it, but also if y'all haven't seen it, you late. But I was really trying to hold out. Somebody told me that the comic book is mad violent.
Yeah, it is. I've watched the YouTube stuff and they show stuff about the comic book and it is mad violent. But people have said, like, it's definitely mad violent. But the difference is, like, now we're seeing, like, in motion the violence, not which panels.
Makes it even more ill.
Like, damn.
And I was holding out for, like, some kind of I didn't expect it to go all the way left. I was hoping there was like some reasonableness, something that I wasn't ready. Yeah. It's already been renewed for seasons two and three.
Yeah. What makes it interesting, one of the things that makes this show very interesting is, like, you know, the show's about this character, was about several characters, and one of the main characters, a guy called Omni-Man, who is basically Superman. Anti-Superman. He's a guy that came here from another planet and settled in, and he saved the world from, you know, things that happen or whatever. So people look at him as a hero, and you come find out that he's not a hero. He's actually here to conquer the Earth, not to save the Earth.
Yeah. So,
but what one of the things that makes it really interesting is, like, in reality, somebody like Superman, or maybe some of these other superheroes, would look at humans like he does. He looks at humans like bugs.
Yeah, like
so what? I killed them. So what? Like, the fuck's, like, the problem?
Like, what were they gonna live? 60 years? 70 years? Who cares?
Yeah, because they live thousands of years and don't age. So he's like, whatever, nigga. Like, okay, so I smashed the nigga's head. Like, what's the, almost if we killed the fly in the house?
Right.
That's how he looks at human beings. Like,
right.
Why are you trying to save up an ant, nigga? Like, what are you doing? You know,
he's
like
there's so much more important. He's like, there's so much more important shit. At one point, he's like, I mean, it's only been 17 years. I could just make another kid. Like, who?
Literally. He's like, you're only 17 years old. I could kill you and just make another one.
Because
if he's the super superior being alien, that probably is how he would look at us.
Right.
And our what's it called? Our
civilization.
Our society. So it's really,
he's basically clowning us. He's like a bunch of Neanderthals still.
Yeah. Like, yeah, unbelievable. So it was brutal. Like, he's just, you know, beating up his son, and he's revealing, like, he reveals his real true meaning for being on Earth, which crushes his, you know, he tells the dude, yeah, I love your mom like a pet.
like a pet.
And he says, like, dead ass, like, yeah, like, you know, I love your mom like, you know, like if I had a puppy.
I said out loud in my house, I was like, wow.
Yeah. But again, that's probably really how somebody like that would think of us. So it's interesting to see it, you know. It's an incredible show, man.
How would you compare it to The Boys? Did you watch that?
I didn't watch The Boys, but I hear The Boys is dope.
I think The Boys is dope. As dark as this is, I think The Boys is darker because there is still a sense of good trying to prevail over evil here. Mm-hmm. Whereas The Boys is kind of like everybody's corrupt, everybody's fucked up, and even the person trying to defeat them ain't that much less fucked up than they are. They just a different kind of fucked up.
Okay.
To me, that's how I see it. Like, you know, because it's also, you know, I think what's interesting about The Boys that would probably be realistic is the fact that, you know, if there were real superheroes out here and we knew about them, they would be doing press tours and, you know, marketing shit and
popping,
you know, all of that. Whereas it seems like in the universe of Invincible, there is at least some, still kind of like genuineness to them. Like, I don't hear it talking.
Yeah, the other superheroes in Invincible really do want to help. Yeah, they really do want to help the Earth.
Right.
But Omni-Man's like, fuck y'all niggas, man.
Fuck y'all. I also told somebody else, The Boys doesn't really have a lot of moments of lightness to me, and Invincible has moments that are very funny, like great timing. You know, it has some sweet moments and some light moments. Whereas The Boys is just dark.
It's dark. Yeah, I'm gonna check it out. Yeah, but definitely, if you haven't watched Invincible on Amazon Prime, like, definitely check it out. It's hot. So what do we think about New York City opening up fully? Well, basically, it's opening 75%, like, in the next couple few days, right?
Mm-hmm. No, the next couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks, and then July 1st, it's 100% open. What are we thinking about this?
They're wilding. I think that...
I think I need the Blasio, some clarity, honestly.
I think the Blasio and Cuomo are in a pissing contest again.
They've been.
Because Cuomo announced it. And they've been doing this all pandemic. Like, one of them will announce one date, and mm-hmm. the other one will be like, nah, we're doing nah. this.
Yeah, we're doing this on other days.
Feels like. Because I'm like, do businesses even have time to put, not just a, because they already have existing COVID protocol order, but you got to change that if you're going to increase capacity and come up to full capacity. I'm like, do you have time to onboard more staff and bring your staff back? Do you have time to, you know, adjust schedules and policies and procedures? Like, there's a lot to it. And visually, I just have this visual in my head that I can't get out. And I know it's very exaggerated of, like, stores opening for Black Friday. Right, mm-hmm. like the idea of everything going back. Because I already was like, July is going to be interesting to watch, but for it to happen in like June, we ain't ready.
I think it's time. Personally, I think it's time, and here's why: because there are two people now, and there have always been two types of people during this pandemic. There are people who took this shit seriously, and people who were vigilant and adhered to the recommendations. And then there are the other people who don't give a fuck mm-hmm. and they operate on their own accord. And those two people will be here in May. They're going to be here in June Fair. And they're going to be here in July. And I think that what we're going to have to start to do is we're not going to be able to lose another summer to businesses. This right. is a big seasonal. This is a big seasonal opportunity. And what they're also trying to do is, in my opinion, for New York City, this is actually going to be a soft opening. They are not, they're saying it's going to open, and technically it will be open. Mm-hmm. But as we've seen, people have been very slow to act in that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, I'm curious about what tourism is going to look like.
Well, that's why, that is my point. The goal is to
get tourists to come back.
If we can get a 90-day window to see what the fall is going to be like, we can now prepare for what the end of the year will be like.
Like the Christmas energy.
The Christmas energy, Rockefeller Center, mm-hmm. Times Square, mm-hmm, Broadway. Mm-hmm. How do we get these people back to work? We just cannot go through another entire year of nothing. And we've all sort of said this because we've all kind of been in that area. And we're only using Times. We use Times Square, and most New Yorkers use Times Square as the demarcation of sort of how crowded the city is, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And we've been in Times Square where, like, I was able to park in Times Square. So if you've never been to bonkers. New York, that shit never happens.
Never, ever, ever happens.
Like, that shit is impossible. Like, not just park. I parked, went upstairs to the 17th floor, came back downstairs. My shit was still good. Nope. Like, so it's a ghost town out there.
And, but I will say, in the neighborhood areas, like, the times I've gone to Upper West Side to do shit, it's like sidewalks packed, people in line to go eat. Like, the places that have more residential.
Saying, like, the business districts is more empty.
Yeah. But Sean, what you pointed out is actually part of my concern is that, like, I do not think we need to spend a whole nother summer closed. We got to start bringing things back, you know, and I see that shows are being announced and dates are going up and mm-hmm. all that other good stuff.
Festivals.
But I'm just also like, New York is just getting our numbers under control and hope, you know, people are being vaccinated, but our vaccination numbers still aren't what they could be. And fucking apparently most of the NYPD ain't vaccinated at all, which is a whole nother.
That's crazy.
But the tourists, like, right now you're basically just on honor code that if you're coming in from a high number state, you're going to keep your ass inside for a little while. So I'm like, unless we're going to do like some of these Caribbean islands and be like, go sit in this hotel. I'm just worried about, I'm worried kind of about that aspect, because we're talking about bringing Broadway back.
I actually don't disagree with that being a concern.
Mm-hmm.
My point is we've operated the last 15 months on an honor system.
Right.
And that has been the issue. The problem that New York City particularly is facing is that Jersey and Connecticut is opening up.
I was about to ask you, when is Jersey opening?
Nigga, did Jersey close?
Did it close? Never really closed down.
In fairness, so like, for example, a friend of ours has a hair salon over in Jersey City.
Okay.
Which is, I think, Soho-y. It's a little Soho-y, right, mm-hmm. type. And there's a breakfast spot over there, and that shit was packed. And were they social distancing?
Yes and no,
right? Like they were being about as cognizant as you can expect from a restaurant. Okay. Was there 6 feet apart? Probably not.
Was there four feet apart?
Sure. Squeezing an extra table or two in there is a big difference when you're charging $26 for a sandwich, right?
Like, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So Jersey is opening up. People are going into businesses. Cuban Pizza is opening up. They've been open, but you know, these are places that are operating at 50% capacity.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, I know that we're in an eat the rich culture, and there's this idea that everyone that owns a business is making money hand over fist because they drive an E-Class, mm-hmm. right? But like, margins are incredibly thin, particularly in the restaurant business. This is a notorious thing. Small businesses are usually the driving force for, day laborers, side vendors,
mm-hmm.
people that have been able to, you know, earn their bread in other ways. And so I think it's just going to be important to open this up, because I don't think that there's any way you can kind of slowly open up New York City. I don't think it's going to be possible. Right. And again, it becomes a little unfair in terms of how, like, what do you think happens with the amusement park industry?
Yeah.
And all of those sorts of things, and how, you know what I'm saying? Like, local economies are going to take another hit, and it's going to be difficult to justify, because the numbers are never going to get, we said this, like, the numbers are never going to get to this ideal place that we're thinking
it's just
of.
Not. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you see, like, even yesterday, like I was saying earlier, I went to go buy a Saks. So, you know, I went down there last week to, you know, get it and try it on. And then I had to go back up after fitting it. But like, just, that was the first time. Personally, that's the first time I've been in Midtown since before the pandemic, because there was no reason for me to go down there. But just seeing like chain stores are gone, like Sunglasses Hut, like big ass stores are gone.
Because a lot of those
tourist driven stores are gone.
But also the best kept secret was that those stores were on the ropes. Those stores were on the ropes pre-pandemic.
They couldn't handle one little slip.
And I don't even know if I could call this a little slip. A little slip is we had to shut down the front of your store for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Right? This is like, dude, like, we're going on 15 months now
of absolute
lockdown of people not spending money in brick and mortar.
And you not getting foot traffic either. Think about that.
What those stores depend on are impulse purchases.
Mm-hmm.
People who are just sort of, you know, wandering around, and they'll kind of walk in. Pop in there.
So, I like these. Can you buy these for me, honey?
Exactly. Okay. And now you have landlords that are basically, there's a moratorium on eviction. So a lot of these places had the opportunity to really kind of get out of leases. Ooh. And leases that were probably shitty.
And long,
for businesses, particularly brick and mortar business, particularly take a Sunglass Hut, for example, like you said, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's not a brick and mortar business. It doesn't require that shit could be a kiosk in a mall.
Real talk.
And the reality is like you get for the majority of places in Times Square and in New York City, you're only putting stores there to say you have a store in New York City.
Yeah. It's like marketing. It's not for profit. It's just marketing.
I can almost bet that the majority of those businesses are running on shoestring profits, if they're profitable at all.
Yeah, like how much money you make is selling sunglasses? I mean, come on.
How much money you make is selling sunglasses? You got five, six, seven employees that operate here. You got all sorts of insurance costs, I'm sure.
Niggas is stealing. Right? Niggas is definitely stealing.
Oh, niggas is definitely bringing up Versace's at Ray-Ban prices.
Right.
100%, my nigga. Okay? And so the game is the game. So I think it's time for New York to open. And I think a big part of what New York is missing and a big part of what drives tourism, and we ignore this a lot, is Broadway. Broadway is a fucking artery for New York City, not just for all of the people that it employs, but for all of the local. So forget
all those businesses around.
When we think tourism, we think overnight. We think people coming in from Ohio. And what we don't think of is people who come and spend the day. We don't think of the people who drive down from Connecticut.
I mean, the outer boroughs, Jersey and stuff.
Jersey, Long Island, Connecticut.
The people who come in and, and so we're going to go to dinner, and we're going to go to Carmine's, and we're going to drop $300 here, and we're going to pay to park, which is $60
Exactly.
And we're going to stop at Haagen-Dazs, which is another $30 to get ice cream. So when you, so all of that shit is a thriving part of what makes this thing work, and the dominoes have fallen, my nigga, and they gotta get back put back.
They gotta get back. Like I said, when I was walking.
And last thing I'm gonna say is, ain't no more PPPs coming, my nigga.
Yeah, that's
so
over.
These restaurants and these businesses, they, if I'm not mistaken, this second round of PPP is slated to be done by like July, August.
And then
I think, that's why I think they said July.
Okay.
Was that point, and they realized that July is not going to be a quick turnaround. Just because we open the floodgates in July doesn't mean we're going to get that turnaround. So we need to get people moving a little bit before then. So by July, August, this shit is thriving.
This is moving again.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, Midtown looks crazy, man. I got walking up Fifth Avenue, like there's no traffic. It's on a Tuesday.
It's not even just about the tourists, but you're not even getting like the people,
cabs,
lunch breaks,
none of that.
And I think about how much money I used to spend just going outside.
Just
for lunch, because everything was right there. You're not even getting that. Not to mention certain areas. Thinking about that area, Midtown Manhattan, specifically near like 57th Street and 5th and Madison, was already like hit so hard by Trump for 4 years.
Oh yeah,
Yeah, they're really like hurting over there.
Yeah. So God bless, man. Sheesh. I want to talk about. You want to talk about Dr. Umar?
Not necessarily.
And Kevin Samuels, they supposed to be
let these motherfuckers fight.
Go ahead, what you got to say, Inka? Go ahead.
Too annoyed to kind of be on Dr. Umar's side with something, so I would rather refrain from talking about it altogether.
Because you're mad that he's actually making sense right now.
A broken clock is right twice a day. Not. So.
But like that's the thing. But that's also the thing about Hotepism, for lack of a better word, and about Umar and about Tariq Nasheed and all of them.
I prefer the term Ankh-right.
Ankh-right, yes. I forgot that term. Ankh-right.
Ankh-right.
There's just enough that makes sense for you to second guess the shit that don't make sense. That's how indoctrination works, right? So sometimes you're going to agree with it. But what was funny to me is that when he initially threw his sub at Kevin Samuels, which he did on a red, black, and green graphic in yellow ink, which I was like, this is so fucking disrespectful that you...
It's so perfect.
You really made this an official Black nationalist statement. The last sentence was, Black women, you do not need to have your value affirmed. You do not need to have your worth affirmed or value affirmed by... Or you do not need to prove your value, affirm your value, whatever. And if you've been on Twitter... Niggas have especially been like increasingly up in arms about, you know, career driven, like more so than usual. Like these high value men, which I think that term came from Kevin.
There has been an uptick in that.
Talking about that, like weirdly like complaining about like complaining about women who don't want to get married or who want to get married later or who choosing careers, talking about how there's no good women out there for high value men. Like, it's all funny to me because I'm like,
that's why I'm dating these white women because they're
like, ain't you talking the same ones who will always be like, it's plenty of women out there. It's not enough men. Y'all need to get with y'all, like, whatever. So some of this apparently came from Kevin Samuels, but some of it is also like incel language from the web with these white boys in basements, and black men are flipping it. I think they don't even realize where some of it is coming from. But anyway, so now we got the Ankhrite and the black cells, like, fighting with each other. And this is a perfect illustration of it. So I have, there's this dude, I looked at his account, he's 25. So somebody pulled Kevin Samuels' high school yearbook picture because they've been pulling out pictures of him looking spicy.
Yeah. Which, you
know, whatever the man, whatever he is.
He is a little spicy. Yes, he is. Yes. Right?
But his
insert Keenan GIF.
Right. Word. Your man was in the drama club, dance club, pep club, glee club. Like, it's the list, like something called the Ebony Bronze somethings, whatever it was, wherever he went. But people who are from Oklahoma City apparently know the high school he went to and are like,
oh, he's, I see he's from Oklahoma.
I think so. I think okay.
So, I never knew where he's from.
So I posted it and I was like, y'all been on Kevin Samuels next. So this guy jumps in my mentions. He's like, it's such a shame how black women have to tear down an intelligent, whatever, whatever, who's saying whatever, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, it ain't even really black women doing it. Like, honestly, black men are keeping this going. So today, I made a joke that Umar backtracked the whole women, black women, you don't need men to affirm your worth. Because when I saw that, I was like, oh, they're not going to like that. So he was like, let me be clear. Black women, I'm not, you know, giving you a pass on your bullshit. I was like, oh, yeah, they got at him.
Yeah, but Kevin hasn't responded at all, has he?
No, nor should he.
He wouldn't.
But the same dude who jumped in my mentions talking about black women tearing down Kevin Samuels jumped in my mentions talking about me disregarding what Umar was saying, which was very important. I was like, see, he's talking about listen to the message, not the messenger. I was like, you just contradicted your own
shit.
Because you're trying to be the black man trademark. But that's why I can't take these niggas seriously. Because y'all just...
Listen.
It's stupid. It's all stupid.
Here's what happened. Kevin posted that pic giggling like a schoolgirl, that clip of him giggling like a schoolgirl with them white women's. And yep. Umar loaded that chopper up. Let that thing go on.
Let it sing.
Because we don't do that in public, my brother. Now, if he was giggling with the white gals and it wasn't on the internet, it might be a different tune.
But
I just think that I think all of them are noticing it, to me, it's all very predatory behavior, right? Like how they seek out and look for those types of dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just phenomenal to watch these, I'm using air quotes here, these, all of these alpha males,
yeah,
who are all in need of this sort of guidance and hero. And they fall to their feet. And, you know, this is why, you know, these guys have the platforms that they have, right? Like, this is why Umar has the donations and, you know, yes, got the cash apps and the Red Lobster cards and motherfuckers be getting, this thing had a Michael, I think they had a Michael's gift card. It was getting arts and crafts or something.
You said Michael's. You said Michael's.
But this is what they do. This is what they do. This is their crowd. That crowd is never going to go away. I think it's going to be very, very important for black men who don't really fuck with this message, and for black women to really, and I know this is easy to say, but you got to ignore this shit.
Yeah.
Because all of the hate tweeting and the hate showing, and a part of this is our incessant need for engagement. Mm-hmm. And so we know that posting those people and basically doing what I like to call low-hanging fruit, like
it's going to attract attention.
It's going to attract attention. Your engagement goes up. Like, you got to ignore people like that. He doesn't get to Joe Budden's podcast without the hate tweets and without the, without the backlash that comes with it, right? Because he's foolish. And
I'm shocked that he hasn't been on Breakfast Club yet.
Umar or Kevin Samuels?
Kevin.
Oh, okay.
He's probably booked for next week.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure it's coming.
You know why? And you know why? It would be a great gift for them, because guess what? People still hate watch them, and people are going to hate watch that, and they're going to tune in for it. And what people don't understand is that engagement is engagement. Good, bad, and different for
the numbers. The numbers are the numbers.
The numbers are the numbers. People are talking about this. Like, people want to see this. People, now y'all gonna look up, and he gonna have a show somewhere.
Oh yeah,
and there you go.
He gonna end up on Bill Maher or
thanks to you.
Yeah, thanks to you.
It'll be him and D.L. Hughley
and Van Jones
doing the. Come on, man.
Yeah, man. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm gonna say peace to them, but you know, whatever.
To your point about the rise in Black incels, I think that's like a good thing that came out of the pandemic, meaning that Black women got to work from home, not be accosted by these men who they think we have to settle for them,
right?
And know, like, you know what? I'm good on my own. Or I'm not settling for these weird ass niggas, and
I can live my life very comfortably. I go to Tulum and have a good time without you niggas.
I've lived 13 months without my apartment. I can do anything.
Or having him in the house and being like, I really don't need this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is you here, nigga?
Stressful.
Why is you here?
Definitely magnified the circumstances.
Yeah, what are you doing there, nigga? Right. Hey, man, I gotta say, it's something happening in the U.S. I think it's been underreported, and it's bad news for the Blacks. Chicken shortage.
I heard.
Chicken shortage.
It's wings specifically. We knew it was coming, though.
It's a lie.
Not in my home.
It's a lie.
It's a lie created by the man. I'm telling y'all that right now. That is a stone cold lie.
I'm reading
90% of Tyson workers had COVID or some shit like that.
I'm reading here on CBS News. This is where I'm this report, but there's several reports on the internet. McDonald's, KFC, and Popeyes, Bojangles, and others are having issues with keeping up with the supply. They say this is what they say happened. Pandemic hits. We start ordering wings by the pound because we home and we hungry and we want, and niggas
made me think of beats by the pound, and I can't.
niggas eating bullshit. So niggas ordering wings. Now some of these like I said, some of these chicken suppliers got hit. The people got hit with COVID, so a lot of them had to shut down, which of course slowed down chicken productivity. And in the process of that, the supply starts to go lower and lower and lower, and they haven't really. They say like they're on the line. It's a stick. They're calling it a strain on the chicken economy. They don't want to call it a straight up shortage, but it's getting tight out here. There's chicken farms in Texas that had to shut down because it went to storm. That hurt too.
They also did a big ice raid in some chicken farm somewhere, but that was
a couple of Mississippi and a couple other places. So it says here, and I quote, chicken producers are doing everything they can to overcome the devastating impact of Mother Nature when she inflicted a once-in-a-lifetime winter storm in Texas and nearby states. It will take time and effort eventually to replace the impacted hatchery supply flocks in these regions. So, yeah, Bojangles is
lies. Here's what I know about my God. I know that they've been saying there's going to be a country ham shortage for about 4 years now, and I can still find country ham. So I'm going to say the devil is a lie, and I'm going to keep ordering chicken.
But an asterisk to that is that the same issue is happening with farmers. Watermelons are now $7.49 a piece. That price is going to go all the way up.
I paid $18 for a watermelon today.
That's insane.
God damn.
I paid $16 for the previous one, and that motherfucker was good as shit. I ate the whole thing. Back to the same store.
You didn't bat an eye.
I didn't bat an eye, nigga, and only took one because I couldn't carry two.
Nigga about to walk out of with $33 of watermelon.
But that won't bother me either. Like, because two of my favorite fruits are grapes and cherries, which can both. Cherries is high as shit.
Yeah, pound. Cherries is dumb.
I don't think cherries are coming out like that.
Yeah, I ain't seen them. I haven't seen them yet. Yeah.
We might not have looked at, but I say that to say every time I like folks be ringing me up in the summer, and if it's a black cashier, she always be like, "Girl, these because she can't."
They'll just let you know. $9.99
I feel Sean on that watermelon price though, but that's why I get those little individual size joints from Whole Foods.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It'd be like $6-$7.
Well, as long as it's not a cut watermelon, you shouldn't have to mortgage your home to.
Shit, so
yeah,
you'll be careful out here.
I think, honestly, let me tell you what I think. I think the reason that you're seeing that language of strain versus shortage is probably a legal one.
I'm sure.
And I think what they're trying to do is, we've had this happen before, right? Remember, there was a shortage of chicken wings, like back in like maybe like 3 years ago or like
when the shortage of hamburger meat at one point or something like that.
They say that shit all the time.
Olive oil.
There was never a shortage. But here's what is happening. Okay. Our South and open back up. Okay. Yeah. And they won't raise them prices.
Yeah.
They coming back, nigga. The price of the brick is going up. That's all this is about.
Yeah.
The brick. As the chief grocery shopper in this house, the price of the brick has gone up around 15% in the last year.
Yeah, that's what people were saying. I think because I'm a house of one, I've always been terrible at, and also because I live in New York where prices can vary, whether if you go to a C-Town or like a Whole Foods, I've always been terrible at telling you how much something's supposed to cost. So I've never in my life paid attention to how much like a pack of chicken costs. For real, per pound. I paid attention to the whole pack, but I'm not really like, this is such a pound. This is more expensive.
Oh yeah, I still do that, man. I put that pack of chicken back in the other quarter legs. Take 79 cents, boy.
Yeah, the one good thing about New York is that you can buy so much fruit on the street, so you can definitely like get around some of them prices with your grapes or with your pineapples, or you know, you can buy a bunch. They always got shit set up all over the place.
You have farmers market there and come back like that though. Like half the vendors I used to see just come back this year.
Shit, it's real out here in the field. Anyway, Inka, you want to mention real quick a little couple of own TV?
Ready to Love is I don't like that show. I'm trying to like stay in it, but I think it's kind of fucked up. It's emotionally like manipulative.
It is.
Like the situations they put the guys in. Having to like invite someone on a date to like fire them or
tell
like,
them
eliminate
going home.
Them.
Yeah.
That is fucked up. Because especially with somebody who you think is kind of interested in you. Right?
Yeah, you're like, damn.
And they're like, oh, damn, he wants a 1-on-1. Let me put on this badass dress. And then the guy's like, we decided you're not ready to love.
And you got to go home.
And here's why. What?
Yeah. That's like this week, they had two women home, both who was crying. Like, they were really fucked up. They were really fucked up. Like, why? I'm going home. What?
Put a show on face. Yeah, no, the girl, Stacey, did not expect it at all. She thought she was everybody's number one. Because
she's really attractive. So people, so she figured, like, I'm popping. I know I'm Gucci. And they was like, "Now you got to go home." And she was like, "Wait, what? I'm going home?" Crying, like real tears.
And it was crying, like, "I promised my kids I was
gonna come home with a dad, bro."
Not in those words.
You're not those words, but basically, you know. Yeah, it was fucking. This show is insane, man. The show is.
I don't know if I want to keep watching. Like, if we're gonna continue to, and then all the men are so shallow, like, well, I expect that on those sorts of dating shows, but like to the extent that like the one girl who's kind of heavy set, everybody is like writing her off immediately because she's also funny, and I'm
that really bothers me.
Let me say, I haven't watched the show. I haven't watched the show, but I will say, and I don't know any of the intricate details about the production company, but shows like this become incredibly and increasingly difficult to cast, particularly after that first season.
Because then people know what it is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so they're going into this in this sort of, I want to be on TV thing. Mm-hmm. It was the same thing with The Ring on it, right? And when you're watching this and you're like, you realize probably like by the third episode of Put a Ring on It, you're like, Ashley and Hollywood aren't ever going to split up. This is a game. They're not. They're trying to get on TV, right? Yeah. And so producers are really, you're kind of at, you know, it's a very difficult thing because you want to have somebody who is interesting and attractive because that's what people like to see on television.
Yes. Yeah.
And they have to be real. Like, so it's a very difficult thing to do after that first season. Usually that first season is like some real genuine shit because they don't have anything to base it off.
There's no preconceived.
There's no preconceived notion. Now, between, you know, coming on TV, these guys are, you know, they have in their shallow ideas because this is kind of what I need to put on.
Yeah. And what's happened with this show in particular, more than other shows, this show is like, there's kind of a couple of YouTube shows that have spawned around this show. Like, there's a show called Little Black Book. He's an English guy, a black cat. And he talks about the show, but then he brings the cast on and he's interviewing them. And then there's other podcasts to interview them. So it's become like a cottage industry around this show. Like, you're never going to be like on, you know, a big show, but like that kind of ground celebrity thing, you can kind of get it popping and get on like somebody's podcast and, you know, a couple popular black podcasts and become like a person, almost like a level or two down from like the Real Housewives, how they get on, you know, kind of do their thing.
To your point about casting though, if you're really into like trying to find the most real people and giving everybody a shot, putting one heavy woman on a show and then everybody else
is slim.
Like, there's two or three, but like,
yeah, but she's,
everybody else is extremely slim or an hourglass or whatever. Like, I feel like that just sets her up, you know,
for the L.
They threw her in there to be like, okay, we're diverse and we're putting regular people in here. Got a raw deal.
She did. And what irked me about her, and we talking about on texting, because look, she's heavy, but she's not like a fat pig. Excuse me, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but she just got big ass titties and a fat ass, and she's like a thick woman.
She has a nice shape. She's good looking.
Yeah, she's good looking.
You know what I mean? She's just very thick. Groomed, like everybody else.
So my thing is like,
an amazing personality.
Yeah. So my thing is like,
we're gonna get.
But in real life, them niggas would have been all over her. In real life,
none of them could be in the same room with a Liz or a Chrysanthemum.
Exactly. Or Stacey even.
Or Stacey even, exactly. Yeah. Like, they would never meet her in real life.
Exactly, which is why they go on for it. They're like, I would never get a shot at this otherwise, so I'm going to go for it. Because in real life, and just living in Houston, going to, you know, a spot, I'm not getting any play from Stacey. None.
Yeah, I'm making like sweeping generalizations about the guys.
Yeah,
there's some good ones in there too. But like, it just feels like they playing in my face, and
they are.
I don't want to watch these people crying and getting hurt every week.
Okay, yeah, and then real quick, I Fixed My Life. This is the last season, probably down to like it's the last three shows or whatever. But this one, she did a really good show. I felt a little uncomfortable watching it this as a man because it was such a woman's it was like I in real life I would never get to see this because I would never be in this room because as a man this was a woman's thing that woman would do and niggas would not be allowed to see it so it was about these four women in Atlanta all worked in kind of like radio and stuff like that.
Radio, PR,
yeah, PR,
media, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and they I guess they all kind of knew each other. And they came to sit with Ayanna and talk about why none of them have had successful relationships and how it's, you know, affected their, you know, their work lives and so on and so on. But it was really good because all four of the women, nobody acted dumb. Nobody was yelling and screaming. Nobody was cursing each other out. None of that. They all came in. And
Iyanla did really good work.
She really did.
She really put on her therapist hat and really, like, the exercises that she was doing made sense. Mm-hmm. The, you know.
She didn't throw no lemons on nobody.
Exactly. Like, I was like, this is the Iyanla we wanted this whole time. These are the kind of issues that we want Iyanla to handle. Yeah, she didn't, she's a little bit of a misogynist, but I didn't feel any of that come out mm-hmm. in this week. So,
a little bit. Shit. Sorry, I haven't even been involved in this conversation. I had to sit up for that part.
She sat all the way back on.
Yeah, but this week was good. It was really good. I would suggest Black Woman. Yeah, Black Woman, you should watch this one. I think you'll get something out of it.
The girl Tracy that was with
She used to be on Love and Hip Hop.
She was on
Love
and Hip Hop. She was on it.
That the DJ girl?
Yes. And
what happened? Her fiance stole her money or some shit like that. Was that girl?
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Somebody's fiance stole all her money. Or
I mean, it could have. I don't know. There's another woman named Miss Shanika, who's a radio DJ in Atlanta. She used to be on morning show with Jock. I think she's on V103 now, and she was on there as well. It was good though. It was a good show.
It was really good.
I wanted to mention India. Have you ever been following this COVID in India?
Somewhat. I need to come up to speed, though, I'll be honest.
So I listened to a podcast on it, so it was very interesting. So what's happening in India is their COVID numbers are just like maybe the worst of the world. Like, it's crazy.
6-figure new cases daily.
Daily. And they're saying it's actually probably 10 times that. Really, because they don't really have testing. So they're kind of doing estimates. So if they're saying it's like 4,000 or 5,000 people a day, it could be like 40. Because again, India is such an overcrowded country. Everybody's on top of each other. So what happened was, when COVID first hit, India shut down. They shut the whole country down. They did a hardcore shutdown. And, you know, they weren't playing around. And of course, the numbers dropped, like drastically dropped. And they did the shutdown for a while. The numbers like went way, way, way down, and they felt like we beat it. We beat COVID. We look at our numbers compared to the U.S. or compared to some of the other countries around the world who are suffering from crazy, you know, spikes and everything. Like, our shit is low. So what they did was, of course, they opened back up instead of letting people outside. The government never officially said we're open, but they didn't stop it. And so they were, you know, people were moving around, the numbers are spiking, but the government was like, nah, well, we beat COVID. I mean, it's a little bit of spiking, but we're good. Like, we beat it already. We're done. And then they did, they have a huge Hindu festival every year. Hundreds of thousands of people come to this Hindu festival all around the country. Again, people don't realize India is a huge country. That's the other thing. It's like a massive country. So they did this Hindu festival because they felt like they couldn't not do the Hindu festival. Like, they literally would have been riots in the streets. That's how important this Hindu festival is to the Hindus in India, who are the majority population. They did the Hindu festivals. Those are super spreader events. Once they did the Hindu festivals, shit just went nuclear. And now it's chaos. But bro was talking about earlier about shutting the country down and stuff like that, or they haven't opened the country back up. India is such a poor country that most people in India live off $2 a day. So they weren't even getting the $2 because the country was shut down. So they like, we can't shut the country down because people were literally dying and starving in the streets because they had no money. So now it's just insane. Like, they're just dropping people off in front of hospitals. Like, motherfuckers is dying in the street in front of the hospitals. Like, you got to be rich even to get in a hospital. You're still going to die, but you got to be rich even to get in. Like, so now the U.S. is shipping all these raw materials so India can make their own vaccine. That's the other thing. They don't really have vaccine over there because they had vaccine because the initial vaccine were being made in India. But the Indian people wouldn't take it because they're like, yo, we beat COVID. I don't need no vaccine. Right. We good. So the vaccines are spoiled. Now they need vaccine. They don't have none. It's just like a domino effect of events that's just insane. But I guess
also what's interesting to me is like I've seen, and again, I have not dug all the way into it on my own, but I've seen criticism of the states and for other...
you mean the United States?
Yeah, and of other countries who have been going through vaccine programs in our populations and getting vaccinated for not giving up some of our quantities to like India or something like that. First of all, I don't think we can give anything we have here to India because of the storage situation. You can't just ship that shit.
Because
the vaccine has to be
go bad.
Very short life and it has to be very, very cold. Mm-hmm. So it'll probably be expensive if anything, but I'm talking shit. But if it's really more a problem of kind of like the problem we have where it's like you can tell these motherfuckers what to do, but they're like, why would I do that? Then it's not about us offering aid. It's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, and what happened was the government, to your point, the government really wasn't telling them what to do until now because it's hit this fever pitch of people, like thousands of people dying a week. But previous to that, the government wasn't, they were like, take it, take it. If you don't, you don't. We it don't matter. And so now it's just at this nuclear pitch that's insane. They shut down, coming in and out. There's a lot of Indian American people who are stuck there. They went over to visit. They went over for the Hindu festival. Now they can't come home. And they're like, nah, you can't leave. I saw a story in the news yesterday. This dude, his father died of COVID. He went over because his father was dying of COVID. Got there, his father died. He's like, yeah, you know, I stayed there for a minute to take care of some family business. Now he's trying to come home. And they're like, nah, B, you ain't coming over here. And his wife is here. I think they're in Jersey. And his wife is like, he needs to come home. And it's like, lady, he's in a country with the highest COVID shit ever. Like, he can't come home. And he's like, why can't he just quarantine here? It's like, but he'd have to fly here in a plane with everybody. Like, it's bad, man. It's way bad, worse than people think.
Is this still fallout from Diwali in November?
Yes. Yes. That's what I'm saying. After Diwali, it just went, It went crazy. That's right, Ivy. To India.
I was thinking I was going to go to Bali this year, but
India. No, you're not.
Right next to India.
Nah, you ain't doing none of that. That's over.
Nah, I think we need to table Bali for a good
year. We need to go to Bali. Let's say somewhere in Memphis.
Scared of Memphis.
Bali in Detroit. Yeah, you ain't going over there. I mean, they're not playing no games. The whole country just no in or out. It's bad. It's way worse than people think. I don't know what they're going to do to get it under control.
I think what part of what's happening, because I'm seeing some of the reporting, and I'm also seeing people say, how is this underreported? But I think what people are missing in that is that if it's in part a government-created problem, right, then the reporting is not going to be the same as it would be if this were, you know, full out natural disaster type situation.
Yeah. So and also, like I said,
because the world is playing catch up.
And also because they don't do testing and all that stuff, there's kind of no way for them to really
there's no hard data.
Yeah, they don't know what the numbers really are. This is right. A lot of stuff is guesstimating, you know? Now, you'll know the cicadas are supposed to be coming back.
Yeah, first time in 18 years. And this time, because somebody asked me about that. And I was 17. Like, they don't be in New York City, but this time they're supposed to be, at least in New York State. I don't remember ever hearing cicadas in New York City, personally.
Yeah, I heard them. Well, I mean, up in Westchester, I've heard them. But
right, in Westchester.
Oh, in the city.
I'm about to be fucked up for a month.
Oh, yeah, Jersey. But I remember when I was in college, there was a 17-year thing, and they came up in Maryland, in Baltimore. They was in the Baltimore city. Like, they was out. Like, they'd be, like, flying on your
Yeah, it's really back. Like a plague. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's a plague. They don't bite or anything, but they're big as shit. They're big as hell, and they loud as hell. And I remember that.
The last one.
You missed the last one? Yeah, it was crazy.
I was living in England, so I didn't get any of that. But
yeah, they would just fly on your head. They'd fly on your arm. They'd be all over the dead, all in the ground. Well, it was crazy.
Aren't they really, aren't they really stupid too? Like they don't have eyes or something.
Yeah, they don't do shit.
Yeah, I mean they have their sole purpose in life is to grow, come above ground, find a mate, lay some eggs,
and go back on the ground 17 more years.
And die, and the eggs
develop
on the ground, and then 17 years later they come up.
You do the same shit.
Find a mate, lay some eggs, and die. But I mean, there's an ecosystem situation, but they literally they live a month. They don't do shit. Like
And the birds eat them, but I mean, they can't eat all of them because it's like there's literally millions of them. They're like these massive swarms. They're like,
I do hope though that like as annoying as they are, this is where I start worrying about modern advancements, because somebody somewhere is going to be like, well, why can't we just kill them and prevent them, and then we're going to fuck up a whole forest or some shit like that.
Like they're doing with the bees.
We gotta just let them rock. We gotta just let them do what they do.
Did y'all see
they're going to get a super cicada that comes from that.
Yeah, exactly.
That it's gonna comes be like, every year.
That's going to be just 5 feet long or some wild shit. Hey, I was going to say your man, but I was about to be
terrifying.
Ain't it? You'd be like, look at that cicada in the yard, nigga, damn!
But like breaking down your door or something.
Trav, get the gun, nigga. Shit.
I would die. I would be deceased. How she died? Put it on my tombstone.
It was a 5 foot cicada in the front yard.
She had a heart attack. And there she goes.
I was about to say something, but it's flagrant, so I'm going to change. Even though he's a flagrant dude. Dude, I'm sorry. Damn, I'm fucking up.
Oh, God.
Did y'all see Caitlyn Jenner?
I have not, because I muted the shit out of her on my on Twitter, so I don't even. I know she's running for governor, but
everyone runs for
governor of California. So
she's running for governor of California. So she was on with Sean Hannity yesterday, the day before. I think it was yesterday.
I already know this is a mess.
So she's so, you know, people get this way, but she is so far removed from any remotely normal life. The conversation she was having with Sean Hannity, even Sean Hannity a couple of times is like, what? Like he was asking like, what are some of the things I'm trying to get it right.
Okay, she
sees wrong with California. And she said, Sean, like I was over in my private plane the other day, and the guy that owns the hangar across from mine, I was talking to him and said, where are you going? He's packing his hangar up. He said, I'm leaving. I'm moving to Arizona because I can't stand seeing all these homeless people when I'm driving through it. This is what this motherfucker said. I was like, dude, what are you? He was like, why do we need a light rail, a fast train to go from San Francisco to LA? You can just fly. It's like, my man, what are you talking about? Like, everybody ain't got $200 million in the bank, bro. Like, people want to take the train from L.A. to Frisco because maybe they can't afford to fly to Frisco. Like, everybody's going to have a hangar with a private jet conversation.
Trains are okay. We can just want to take the train.
And to show not how he didn't think it through something so simple. It's like, yes, a light rail from Frisco to L.A., would stop other places. So you could take a train to Sacramento, Fresno.
It is an economic connector.
Yes.
It gives people opportunity.
Right now, if you go to get to Central California, right, you kind of only drive, and it's tough.
Long ass drive.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So, here's the thing. I'm not old enough to remember a lot about Bruce, and I'm not dead naming Caitlyn. I'm referring to Bruce
pre-transition.
I'm not old enough to remember a lot about Bruce as a personality pre-Kardashian show, right? But I do remember feeling like on the Kardashians over the years, not that I ever watched the show at length, but over the years, he, and I'm not dead naming pre-transition, seemed increasingly like kind of kooky and like not all there.
Mm-hmm.
And fuzzy and passive. And since transitioning to Caitlyn has seemed just completely out of her mind. Like, I don't have another way to say it. Like, And I always have, I've always, even the way in which she went about her transition, it seemed like she was just totally like, fuck my whole family.
Yeah, fuck all y'all.
Fuck all these motherfuckers, right? I'm out for Delph. And, but in a very like attention grabbing, callous kind of way, right? Mm-hmm. And I, you know, as she's dipped her toe in the politics here and there, it's just really confounding because everything that she is as a person goes against everything she stands for politically, right? And I don't know how she doesn't see that, but also I thought that Bruce was the most level-headed of that entire family. So for Caitlin to be so out of left, it's just really astonishing to me.
This interview, the interview was just like, that was the epitome of, I'm white. I've been a white man for a long time. Now I'm a white woman and I've had money.
Operating in white, rich white male privilege. Yeah.
For 50 years now. So but I don't also, even understand what you're talking about.
The cognitive dissonance required to go on a show of someone who doesn't believe you exist is
right.
Insane to me. To Hannity even like, fuck running for governor, any of that, but like.
Against. Transgender,
the like, existence of transgender people, seriously.
It was bizarre, man. Before we wrap up, I wanted to mention Pose.
I haven't watched it, so if y'all are gonna give spoilers, although shout out to Janet Mock, who must have been high as shit.
I didn't know that dude. I didn't know it was her boyfriend.
Oh yeah, her and Angel been together for a minute.
Yeah, Poppy. Yeah, I didn't know it was her boyfriend.
They've been together for a minute. But like. People are kind of glossing over the wild shit she said because she also went on the equity rant. But like she was just like, it was like the Quincy Jones interview times 1,000. Like she was just on.
Like I'm letting it out here. I don't give a fuck. Yeah.
I won't give any spoilers, but I will say it was not good.
It wasn't. It got this by the second episode. It got better. But the first episode was a lot of goofy shit. I was like,
a lot of jumping around.
Yeah,
I'm sure you. I don't know if you.
Well, but because now they're in 1994,
right?
So they skipped a lot of time. Ended last time was like still the 80s.
It was
right?
the 80s. Forgive my memory, but was crack in 94 the same as the early 80s?
No, in the early 80s, it was more cocaine.
Right.
Okay, the show feels like the crack is of the early 80s era and not of 1994 that they're in.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of crack for it to be 94, for me.
Yeah.
Well, crack was still all, let's see, because think about it, New Jack City was 91. New Jack City was 91, right? I mean, granted, by 94, the crack epidemic was probably on the downturn, but because 94 was when they passed the crime bill.
Yeah. Yeah, Clinton was in office.
You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? So that, which is why. So mm-hmm. it's not that far off.
Yeah, it was.
Thank you for putting that in context for me. It was just a lot of.
It was a lot of
casual crack.
Yeah, like just crack use. Like, hey, this is some crack. Let's get high. What? Like it was crazy, man. And there's a lot of.
I don't remember it ever being recreational, but then again,
it was recreational and it was joint.
Very recreational
until it wasn't. But it was recreational for a while, and you said it was a lot of dramatics. And it's interesting how with this show they've really transitioned into Blanca being kind of like the main figure. Her and what's his name? Pratell.
I think they always were though.
But I don't know, Blanca was
initially. It was always Blanca's story.
Yeah.
Was it? Blanca was just not as prominent a mother as Evangeline. Yeah.
And she wasn't that good of an actress when it first started.
Right.
She's gotten better. Not saying she's going to win, you know, an Oscar, but at the beginning, it was like, goddamn.
I'm trying to talk about it without talking about it.
Yeah.
But,
A lot went on.
So much happened. It was very choppy.
Because they showed us two episodes, so it was 2 hours. I didn't expect we were going to get two. I didn't know we were going to get two episodes the first night. So it was like a lot. We lost the character. We lost a character like out the blue, like, wait, what? What? Just
in passing conversation.
Just passing conversation, like, word? It's okay, that's dead. But
I see that, like, I also know why this is the last season, but I see the it feels forced getting them back in the ballroom.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't.
The ballroom should definitely, like, because when the show first started, it was the 70s, correct? The first season? So, like, right now, they've been doing
I think it might have been early 80s.
The first season?
It might have been, like, 1980. Like,
yeah,
it
was, I think it might have been.
But even with that, like, anyway, they've been doing this ballroom thing for like 15 years now. Like, God damn.
And Pray Tell is still the MC, and people are walking the same categories.
Yeah, like it's like even if the ballroom itself would have been around, those people would have been kind of pushed out by now or transitioned out. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't just be still, you know, shit. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't really fuck with it. I ain't really fuck with it.
So, yeah, I'm gonna check out episode 3, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Season 1 is set in 87, 88.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because you know what? It was right after. It was supposed to be around the time of Paris is Burning.
Right.
Yeah, but even still,
but it felt. And this isn't really wrong. I remember when they did last season when they kind of had a whole thing around Didn't they start the season with like Madonna dropping Vogue and that becoming like a big?
No, that was the second season. The first
that was
season.
That last season. The second season.
Oh, last season. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. So I remember it feeling like a huge leap. But honestly, if you look at 87, 88, to 90, 91, it feels like a huge leap.
Yeah.
If you look at it culturally, even though they were.
Because, yeah, yeah. 87 New York City and 1994 New York City are very different.
Very different. Very different.
So yeah. I don't know. Yeah, so we'll stick with it, but I think it might be a bit of a chore to get through this season. But it's the final season, so we're gonna rock out. Anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. Have you? Did anybody watch Married to Med or?
Oh, I watched some of the reunion. I'm just not excited about that. But you know, I watched my Married to the Medicines.
Yeah, no,
I watched that. I don't miss that.
It's a little cringy.
It's a little cringy.
Please tell me if I'm asking for way too much out of TV shows, because I feel like
What are you asking for?
I need you to just, do we have to have an argument at the Airbnb the night before we go and save lives with COVID tests at the March on Washington?
No, we don't.
Do we have to call each other bitches in front of like Eugene's mom?
No.
Is that necessary?
No. No.
Should I be expecting better behavior from 44-year-olds on television?
44-year-old educated woman.
Hair and
educated women. Yeah, an educated woman. Who have lived lives. Like, so most of them, besides Toya, have like lived lives. Have
had
shit.
Children yeah. are responsible for other people's lives and income and health and well-being.
And they're still like, this bitch is dumb. Fuck you, bitch. Like, whoa.
Fucking exhausted.
And even what bugs me, even with the husbands, not that the husbands should be jumping into the middle of women's arguments, but even them, they're like, it's like, nigga, like, I know it's for the show, but y'all just watch the shit. Like, you don't even be like, yo, what the fuck y'all doing? Nobody don't be like, yo, what the fuck are y'all doing? Y'all just watch the shit.
Do you think that everybody gets pulled up by their husband when they get home?
I would hope so. I definitely think Damon speaks to Heavenly and has off camera. And she's not as bad.
That nigga's scared of Heavenly. Get the fuck out of here. That nigga's petrified of Heavenly. You fucking kidding me? That nigga ain't say nothing. Ever since he went and saw them titties in Mexico.
Oh yeah,
I forgot mad at him. That nigga, man,
he had a thong around his neck.
hey buddy, why you mad, buddy?
What you mad, buddy? Hey buddy, let's talk later.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah, I don't know. It is hard to. Sidebar, bro. I was watching this thing online. Heavenly has a little YouTube show, and she does after each episode, and they were talking. So apparently, Eugene and Toya sold the crib. They sold it basically for no profit. And so, you know, and then after, you know, taxes and all that shit, they probably end up either just breaking even or maybe even in the red a little bit.
Well, that's kind of what
that tells me that house didn't make sense because it's a seller's market
that's,
right now.
Well, the problem is that when you're selling at that price point, you can't really. Okay, so your pool is really small.
Mm-hmm.
Your pool is usually people who have large cash reserves, right? Like people who can go out and just kind of get a $2 million crib.
And not even blink.
They're not really hurting, right?
Yeah.
So what you do in that instance is you smell the blood in the water. You know they're hurting.
So you like, so
you,
if
you, you can wait so them you, out.
You can wait them out. You squeeze them.
You wait them out. People, I've seen that happen, maybe not on the scale of $2 million, but even on a home of, you know, anything like, say, above 750. Like, if you see people are, the first thing people do, this is why we always tell you, take care of your, the appearance of your house. First thing people going to do is they're going to check your grounds, your landscaping, what your crib looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's any indication that your shit is not maintained and done professionally, right? Like, that's the first hint of, okay, there's money trouble. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, these are all the things that people look at. And you lowball the offer because what the fuck they... If you know that the property is worth $2 million, right? And you're willing to spend $2 million... Why not offer them 1.4?
Yeah, see what they say.
They throw the spaghetti on the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah. You know, if they say no at first, they might come back around. Don't get no bites.
Fucking with the church's money.
Yeah.
But you also know that as a seller, if you let that fish off the line, you might not get another bite.
Exactly.
You might not get another bite. And what it means is that it's the difference between selling that house at a loss or going into foreclosure.
Yeah. And now
your credit is completely shot.
Yeah.
You're back. Not only are you not back at square one, but you're now in the fucking red.
You're negative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been holding on to a house. It looks bad by all measures.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we all acknowledge that the only people in the world that did not acknowledge that this was too much house was Toya and Eugene.
Exactly.
The only two people.
Only two. Yeah. Heavenly was breaking it down. You know, Heavenly knew.
Eugene knew that shit was way too much.
There's a point where we're not going to just keep blaming Toya.
Yeah.
A part of this shit is also Eugene. Mm-hmm. Eugene also wants to be able to feel like he's able to provide that and get that and do these sorts of things. And I get it, man. Like you want to feel good because mm-hmm. your wife is happy and you're being able to provide these things for your kids and all of that shit sounds great, my nigga. But at what cost?
What
is the actual cost? Not what is the money that leaves your account in order to maintain this. What is the cost? What is the stress cost?
Yeah.
What is the strain at work cost?
Them kids, their kids have been probably to four schools since the show started.
And my nigga, like
they're about to go to five.
My nigga, you're not a spring chicken, my nigga.
Yeah.
The reality is that you're probably closer to the end in terms of career, not like death, but like you need to be thinking about your exit strategy.
He's not in a cute like practice where he sees patients.
He's an emergency doctor.
He's not a plastic surgeon.
Trauma doctor.
He's not. You know, nobody's coming in there dropping, you know, $15,000 on the table in cash for you to do some titties and some ass.
Mm-hmm.
That just ain't happening, my nigga. You getting gunshot victims, nigga, and runny nose kids.
So
God bless, and I don't take any glee in that, but like that to me, like there's certain decisions that as you know, I hate to use the term like as the man of the house, right? But there has to be some decisions where you put your foot down.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I get everything can't be an argument, but some shit is gonna have to be an argument, my nigga. The betterment of me and this retirement plan There's no fucking way you were gonna be able to maintain that crib into retirement, my nigga.
On top of that, this season, of course, because of the house, Toya ride around in a brand new Porsche.
Well, that's and again, I don't have any insight into their personal finances. That's fairly easy to get.
But did you have to get it?
No, but that's on brand, right? This is part and parcel of being on brand, right? Like, is, you know, you're out playing tennis, you needed to get a two-story closet, and Gene got to work 18 hours and come home and help the babies with their homework.
And cook.
Speaking of tennis, she was giving financial advice to Anila on the show, which, when I tell you my jaw was open, like, is this really happening?
Yeah, right.
Is this person this girl really telling her to pay her bills and be mindful of the build? What?
Because that, all of that, this is that seminar culture. This is that women empowerment culture. Mm. They go to these fucking
the brunches,
spend $300 for that dry ass chicken and them basic ass
and runny eggs.
$300
and runny eggs.
Whatever. Oh yeah, them shit, them brunches be costing. Maybe not $300, but
I was gonna say, clearly that shit is not marketed to me.
But all of that shit, man, they pick up all them basic ass points, and I'm not, I don't want to sound like flippant because, you know, I'm no fucking financial whiz either, but like the shit that they're talking is literally, you can pick up any financial magazine and pick up those tips, right? Exactly. Like there's 1,000 articles online right now same tips on there, right?
Google, nigga.
What should I not do with my money? And them 10 things she said is like, nigga, right there.
Yeah, right there for free. So, I'm going to watch what I'm married to the medicines and we're going to push through. But, some of the shit on there is starting to get a little, it's starting to get like all these reality shows. They're kind of running their course. It's just what happens. They did a cross thing this week. They had Giselle and Robin were on there as well as Jamal Bryant. They were kind of trying to do a cross.
Giselle. In that outfit.
Oh, Jamal Bryant want to hold a piece of fruit so bad, and I don't know why he acting like he
Jamal don't. Was on there talking to the men. Hey, brother, how you doing, Jamal? Nigga, come on, man. But we're going to keep watching, man. Peace to Simone and Jackie. Hope y'all get it together. On that note, we're going to wrap it up. I don't think we got nothing else to discuss.
Happy Mother's Day in advance.
Oh, yeah. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
SWV and Escape versus on
Saturday. Oh, yeah, on Saturday night. That's yep, right. Yep, yeah, 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 yeah. That's going to be interesting. That's going to be very interesting. I'm looking forward to that.
Give the moms in your life some cold hard cash and peace and quiet.
There you go. Fuck all that going out shit and, just give me some money. Money
and quiet.
Money and quiet. And you're good. You hear that, Trav?
I'm sure Trav has whatever very taken care.
I know Trav.
Good at gifts.
I got something planned for you.
Yeah,
Trav,
yeah.
Good at gifts. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. We're gonna wrap it up. We see y'all next week.
Later.
Peace. Bye.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got 3 ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @PopLifePodcast.